Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to kickstart the work week. And we're here for it and appreciate it. We're glad that we can be a part of hanging out with you. You can be a part of hanging out with us. It's a whole thing. It's great. We're getting deep into 2025. This might still be in January. I don't know. It'll be close. But again, survive round two of Snowmageddon. Round three will probably be here by the time this drops. So we're doing our best.
Yeah.
If you're new here, you're going to want to fast forward to about the 5-minute mark to get to the meat of the show, because me and Kyle like to chit chat a little bit. Some people like it. Some people don't. It is what it is. It's our show. We do what we want. So before we get into today's episode, we got to get through the business. So check us out at all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, definitely YouTube. Everybody needs to go over there and kick it. If you haven't yet, go subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. Because if TikTok goes away, that's the only place you're going to be able to see our beautiful, wonderful faces. And you can watch these shows as we record them. It's a good time. But yeah, go check that out. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll catch us there. Be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a whole thing. It's a cool cult. Coolest cult around, I might add. So you're going to want to check it out. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show of our Thursday shows, Kyle's got some details for you if you want to share that with us.
I do, and I will. It's in the show notes if you get confused and lost along your journey here, which is easy to do, but it is hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You write your story out in as much detail as you possibly can, shoot it over there, we flag it, file it, and air it. Oh, that's my new tagline. Flag it, file it, air it.
Sells itself.
It does. I mean, it's perfect.
It is. You just, that was a home run. That was a dinger.
Thank you.
If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. You can go be a patron at our Patreon for $7 a month. You get exclusive shows. You get our regular shows posted early and ad-free. You get Casket Breath jams over there. You get first dibs on some merch drops. The people at Patreon got first dibs on the new hats that dropped. And sometimes we put coupons and stuff over there, a whole bunch of stuff. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com, search up our store, and go and check out all of our goodies over there. We got our new hats dropped. We got some stocking caps over there. We are currently running through the back stock of our shirts before we get some 2025 new designs popped up and popped in there. So as soon as those go, we'll start hammering out some new stuff.
Mind you, those are all on sale as well.
Oh, yeah. True. Till they're gone. They are on sale for $15.
Yeah, and the Trust No One shirts will never be made again. So
never. Never, ever. So definitely go check them out. You also word of mouth us. That sounds creepier than it was intended. But anytime people start talking about weird stuff, throw our name in the hat. If you listen to other paranormal podcasts you'd like to see us collab with, throw our name out there. Say, hey, you need to check out these two dorks. It'll be cool. It'll be a good time. Also, you can go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if I find it, I will gladly, gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review, this week's, I should say, comes to us from our friend Julie3875. 5 stars, so good. Love this podcast. You are my Monday evening wind down and love the night shift Wednesdays. Also, shout out to your YouTube channel, Two Friends Talking Truth and Weird Stuff. Hella good all around. Julie, you're hella good all around.
Much love.
Thank you for the kind words and just taking time out of your busy day to just leave us some nice stuff. Everybody likes nice stuff. We like it because it boosts our ego.
We are fans of quality over quantity.
Yes. And cool guys over nerds.
Also true.
So it is what it is. That being said, the business is finished.
Right at the 5-minute mark.
Getting better. Not like last week where I jabbered into 7 minutes and people are going to be like, what the fuck?
It's okay. It's okay.
Kyle's got the real business now.
I do. Going on another wonderful journey, although it's kind of a frustrating situation.
Frustration.
It is. I'm glad you're on this whole like yoga-esque teacher.
In my brain, it was from SpongeBob where he does that, and it's a rainbow.
No, like you definitely look like a yoga instructor.
Frustration.
Yeah. It's weird that you do that, because when we were throwing up the horns for the listener experience, I was thinking about starting to do that instead. Weird.
We're on the same cycle.
Yeah. Which sounds
weird. Brain cycle. Look at that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm passing through the wormhole. That is weird.
It is weird to see.
People listening right now have no idea what the hell is going on, but you're going to have watch the YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I clearly have the attention span of a child.
This is true. But this is another one of the stories that pretty famous, well known.
Like us.
And it's way shorter than is expected. But there's a lot of, I guess, controversy and speculation around this story. So we're gonna be talking about the Lovelock Cave cannibal giants.
Nice.
Yeah.
We've had people forever want us to dive into this.
Well, I don't even remember what sprung it in my attention the other day, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check this out. I haven't, because the last one I did was on the Kandahar Giant.
Yeah, that has been a hot minute.
It's been a while ago. So here we are with the Lovelock Giants. Now, Lovelock Cave itself is located in Western Nevada on the outskirts of the Humboldt Sink and Lake Lahontan. This place was previously known as Sunset Guano Cave, Horseshoe Cave, and Loud Sight. The cave itself is about 150 feet long and 35 feet wide. This cave was used. It's estimated that this cave was used as early as 2580 BC.
Damn.
It's crazy, right? But people have occupied Lovelock for over 4,000 years.
It's weird that they keep changing the name of it.
It is weird.
Almost like it reminds me, not that it's any like correlation, but how they change government project names.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
To kind of muddy the information behind it. Maybe?
Yeah, that is a good point, because there is a lot. You find a lot of information that definitely coincides with giants, but then you also find the skeptics and the science in some cases disagrees, but in some cases agrees. So there's a bunch of back and forth when it comes to the story itself. But the real mystery that we're all here for, and I hope I say this right, Paiute, right? The Paiute Indians?
Sounds right to me.
Okay. Paiute lore is that when they first settled the area, a group of red-haired giants had already been living in this area. Some of these giants were reported up to 12 feet tall, which is huge. Could you imagine the raw strength a 12-foot being would have? It would be insanity.
Who would win? 12-foot cannibalistic giant, 8-foot shape-shifting gnome.
I don't know. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because the gnome has magic abilities, so.
True. True.
I feel like the giants mostly have raw strength.
Yeah. Which.
And I don't think giants are very well known for their cunning.
No, just brute force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at with that, I think. I think the gnome has a leg up because of the magic stuff. I do too. Stuff.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. For those of you wondering what the hell we're talking about, last week's episode had a shape-shifting gnome that decided to make itself 8 feet tall.
Yeah, it's a big gnome.
It is. Is it a gnome at that point?
No. I don't feel like no. I feel like you.
It's a troll.
Yeah, it's a troll. Definitely a troll. But in regards to these giants, the Paiute gave them a name of Thitaka, which meant tool eaters. And in regards to that, I believe that tool is a form of like grass. But what's weird is that's the name they gave them, and yet these giants were reported to be cannibalistic giants.
That is interesting.
Right. And I think there might be a little bit of a different point to be made later on about that description of them because of the way they got around. But I also found other sources that claim these giants came from a distant land nearly 3,000 years ago after crossing the ocean in boats made from bulrush plant. And I also saw reports, which I guess this will go ahead and get into, the application of the tool eater, that they also made rafts from tool. And it sounds crazy to have a boat made of grasses, but apparently they had a very detailed way of weaving.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before. Like, they can make pretty well weave baskets and stuff that hold water.
Yeah.
So if it holds water, it's going to keep water out. You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And I apparently it was a pretty advanced way of weaving, because there are other things that get found in this area later on that will kind of corroborate that.
I wonder if they're, you might get into it, but since they're red hair and there's lore of them coming in on boats, is there like a tie in to Norse or Viking mythology that maybe these,
a little bit,
this band could be like a rogue set of Vikings that made it to America? Where is Lovelock Cave at?
It's Nevada.
Nevada. So made it either really far west or essentially came in the opposite direction.
Which would be a rarity.
Which,
in regards to Viking.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Almost an impossibility, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of boating.
Yeah.
Unless you can cut through somewhere in South America or something. But it's not that far out of the realm of reality that, you know, a band of Vikings made it from Viking land through the Americas to Nevada when, you know, a bunch of Spanish and English people did it. you were basically using the same thing, using boats and walking.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that's on the table. And now that we say that, I probably should have looked into large sizes of Vikings to see how big they actually got.
Yeah, good call. I can slowly Google here as we're talking.
All right. So anyways, once in regards to kind of back to the story here, once these giants noticed the Paiutes in the area, apparently they instantly became an option for dinner.
They did not hold back.
No, the giants began to wreak havoc on the Paiutes. The giants would come in, capture, and consume the natives. So naturally, war breaks out, but there was a few problems in regards to this war. One, you are fighting giants, which size and power is obviously not on your side at that point. You got a huge problem. Then, as we know, people do, not just natives, but people. But back then in particular, tribes would also war with themselves all the time. So you'd have competing tribes warring with each other on top of a war with giants.
That sucks.
Yeah. So it's not a good situation, honestly, for any party in the area because... And it does get to this point. However, at first, it wasn't the understanding of like my enemy or the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It was just the enemy of my enemy is my enemy. So we should all just fight each other.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, exactly.
I did look up average height of Vikings and they are not tall.
Really?
Yeah. Average height, 5'7".
Oh, wow. I know there were some anomalies, though, because you had your Berserker Vikings and stuff that were large.
Yeah.
You did have anomalies.
But
how big was the anomaly? Is it, you know, 6'3"?
Yeah, probably not 12 foot.
No.
Average, they were probably very similar to us.
Okay. But your theory could still come into play, and you'll see why in a little bit. But at this point, throughout the war, the years would pass. And the tribes apparently at that point, after years of fighting, the tribes are like, hey, this is dumb. How about we all square off against the giants? And so they're like, all right, that's a great idea. We should definitely do this. So they all came together. And the tide changes drastically at that point. The natives begin to start slowly picking off this giant population. And it comes down to a final push where the natives drive the remaining numbers of giants into a cave. Some of these giants, though, seeing the end as inevitable, they apparently jump on their rafts and start taking across the big Loatan Lake. And they're just out. They're like, I'm done. I'm out of here. See you later.
So some of them escaped.
Supposedly some of them escaped.
I didn't hear that. But I haven't looked into it very much either. So.
Right. And they used the same rafts that were reported and being used when they captured the Paiute women who were coming down to the lake to gather tule grass. Over time, the Paiutes pushed the remaining population back to the cave. They surround the cave. And kind of cool, they start demanding that the giants come out and fight to the death. They're like, hey, you ain't hiding on this one. We're gonna handle this.
Yeah. If you didn't want none, you shouldn't have started none.
Right. So some of them did. And I'm gonna assume that because of the large numbers of natives that had them cornered, the ones that did come out got cut down fast. Which is, you know, kind of obvious at that point, because it would, even for a band of, say, six giants, I feel like it would take a quite large number of natives to push them back.
Yeah.
I feel like six giants is just, I mean, it's just a wrecking crew.
Yeah. Especially 12 feet tall, just pure mass. Oh.
So what I find interesting is that some of the giants decided to not come out. And out of curiosity, I wonder if that was a strategic decision or a coward's decision. Because strategically, it creates an advantage for the giants again. You know, it's like a 300 situation where now these Indians have no choice but to funnel in.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
Takes away the numbers. Because then the advantage goes right back to the giants. Because toe-to-toe, you're not going at the giants.
Yep. And they're familiar with the cave, which...
Also true. So also true.
They've got... That would be a smart move, lure them in.
Absolutely. Well, the natives weren't dumb either. They started collecting brush in the area, and they started stacking it in front of the cave. They stacked it in front of the cave. Apparently, they didn't smoke them out. Apparently, I'm assuming they stacked it in front of the cave, lit it on fire, and then kept adding to it until the smoke killed all of them inside the cave.
That'll do it. Smoke them in.
Smoked them in.
That'll do it.
Now, this story itself comes from, or it's been handed down through generations, and there was a woman, Sarah Winnemucca, who was daughter of the great chief Winnemucca. She wrote of these tales in her 1882 book, Life Among the Paiutes. She claimed that after her people had exterminated the tribe, everyone began to call them Seydukarat, which means conqueror. Sarah also claims to have some of their hair, which has been added to a dress she has. The hair has been handed down throughout their lineage.
Oh, that's dope.
So I was actually able to find her complete passage of everything in the book. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. So it says, among the traditions of our people is one of a small tribe of barbarians who used to live among the Humboldt River. It was many hundred years ago. They used to waylay my people and kill and eat them. They would dig large holes in our trails at night, and if any of our people traveled at night, which they did, for they were afraid of these barbarous people, they would oftentimes fall into these holes. That tribe would even eat their own dead. Yes, they would even come and dig up our dead after they were buried and would carry them off and eat them. Now and then they would, it is crazy. Now and then they would come and make war on my people. They would fight, and as fast as they killed one another on either side, the women would carry off those who were killed. My people say they were very brave. When they were fighting, they would jump up in the air after the arrows that went over their heads and shoot the same arrows back at us. My people took some of them into their families, but they could not make them like themselves. So at last they made war on them. This war lasted a long time. Their number was about 2,600. That's a lot. The war lasted some 3 years. My people killed them in great numbers, and what few were left went into the thick bush. My people set the bush on fire. This was right above Humboldt Lake. Then they went to work and made tule or bulrush boats and went into Humboldt Lake. They could not live there very long without fire. They were nearly starving. My people were watching them all around the lake and would kill them as fast as they would come on land. At last, one night, they all landed on the east side of the lake and went into a cave near the mountains. It was a most horrible place, for my people watched at the mouth of the cave and would kill them as they came out to get water. My people would ask them if they would be like us and not eat people like coyotes or beasts. They talked the same language, but they would not give up. At last, my people were tired, and they went to work and gathered wood and began to fill up the mouth of the cave. Then the poor fools began to pull the wood inside till the cave was full. So at last, my people set it on fire. At the same time, they cried out to them, will you give up and be like men and not eat people like beasts? "Stay quick, we will put fire out." No answer came from the cave. My people said that they thought the cave must be very deep or far into the mountain. They had never seen the cave nor known it was there until then. They called out to them as loud as they could, "Will you give up? Say so or you will all die." But no answer came. Then they all left the place. In 10 days, some went back to see if the fire had gone out. They went back to my third or fifth great-grandfather and told him they must all be dead. There was such a horrible smell. This tribe was called people eaters, and after my people had killed them all, the people around us called us Sedu Kara. It means conqueror. It also means enemy. I do not know how we came by the name of Paiutes. It is not an Indian word. I think it is misinterpreted. Sometimes we are called pine nut eaters, for we are the only tribe that lives in the country where pine nuts grow. My people say that the tribe we exterminated had reddish hair. I have some of their hair, which has been handed down from father to son. I have a dress which has been in our family a great many years, trimmed with this reddish hair. I am going to wear it sometime when I lecture. It is called the mourning dress, and no one has such a dress but my family. In the autumn of 1911, a group of miners, or that was her story right there. That was the entirety of the segment that came from her book. Which is a pretty, it's interesting too, because I found the story and I didn't necessarily read it right off the rip. I kind of just placed it in my work because I'm like, this would be cool to get it right from her words. And what's going to be interesting in a little bit when we kind of discuss some of the controversy around it. I'm already noticing extreme differences from the information that I found from multiple websites that claimed a different battle than what she actually portrays here. Because as you heard in the first version, we talked about how the Indians told them to come out and fight to the death. However, by her accounts and her people's accounts, they were just trying to get them to give up and be like normal men. Yeah. They would have allowed them to live
if they'd stop eating people.
Stop eating people.
There's one thing I hate about the Midwest. All the damn Campbells.
Yeah.
All the damn Campbells.
That's not good for business.
No.
It's not good for business.
It's wild to me that there was 2,600 of them.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was that many.
That's an entire, like, community.
Oh, for sure.
So that kind of, granted, it could have started out way lower numbers and grew over time, but I don't see 2,600 people coming from Viking land on boats just to post up in some cave in Nevada.
Yeah. It is, I don't know. It gets a little, this might be a little more interesting of a story than I anticipated. So in the autumn of 1911, there were a group of miners led by David Poe and James Hart. They begin to dig through 250 tons of bat guano to use it as fertilizer.
What a shitty job.
Yes.
But those are the jokes, folks.
During this process, they began to uncover things that would essentially verify an old legend of the area. The University of California eventually gets word of this and sends out a group of people to look at all these artifacts that are being dug up. The collection has since been divided up between Nevada Historical Society and the University of California. Through excavations, some interesting things have been found inside this cave. Fucking crazy. I was
just looking at it, bro.
Dude, it's nuts. You have 11 duck decoys that were found. These things were painted and feathered, being made up of bundled tulle, which is a long grass, then covered in feathers and painted. These decoys date back to 300 BC.
How rad is that?
That is crazy.
So dope.
How, like, I don't know. It's amazing what people over time have learned to do.
I love shit like that.
It's so awesome, man.
Here we are, like, in the most advanced that we know of. The history of has let us know the most advanced era, epoch, and civilization. And we would not know what the fuck to do if the power went out for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
You got humans that literally exist on sticks and stones, just building and creating and just inventing, especially stuff like this. Like, it's just so rad to me.
It is awesome. It's crazy. There was also a sling that was found, and I'm assuming it was like a David and Goliath sling. There was also nets and traps for hunters to use. Another interesting find, which is awesome, is this donut-shaped stone that had 365 notches carved on the outside.
Oh, that's weird.
And 52 corresponding notches on the inside.
Like a calendar.
Like a calendar.
That's rad.
It's fucking awesome. There were a pair of sandals that were found. These sandals in particular were not like any others that have been found in the region. They are made the same way as the woven baskets. There are also many reports that these sandals measured up to 15 inches, which I saw supposedly in today's men's shoe sizes, that's roughly a size 29.
Shoo.
And I think they said, Shaquille O'Neal doesn't even have feet that big. Like, his is like a
22. I just looked at the same report. That's so dope.
Now,
there's pictures of the sandals compared to where their foot would be.
Yeah.
That's so rad.
I found this article, this paragraph, which is interesting. This is going to muddy the water, though. So, to possibly confirm a portion of the legend, which, there's a lot, we'll talk about it. They found arrow shafts lodged in the crevices at the cave's entrance, and they were scorched.
So, essentially, maybe not proof of a war, but proof that there was something going on.
Yeah.
Between the Paiute and whatever was in or near the cave. Also, them being scorched kind of lends credence
to the fire.
To the fire. Hey, Holocult. We are back, and we are excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 zocdoc.com/hollow1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
It is weird. It's weird. It would be crazy to, I think they said that one of the main guys that excavated this cave found well over 10,000 artifacts.
Oh, dude, that'd be so dope.
How crazy is that, that in a 150-foot cave, you found more than 10,000 artifacts?
Yeah, I mean, that also, you know, kind of is evidence in itself that a pretty decent-sized community existed in the cave.
Yeah. Also in a nearby cave, there was a cave called Spirit Cave. They found a mummy in there and they carbon dated it. It dated back to 10,000 BC.
Oh damn, that's old.
Yeah. This is right up your alley, Steve.
Yeah.
They also found a giant pestle, which was found just below Lovelock Cave. And it's huge. It's a massive. It's probably in the picture. It looks like it's about this big, Steve.
Oh, that's wild.
And so that's probably what I'm almost probably a foot and a half, two feet. It's huge. And what's crazy about the pestle itself is that it's actually not allowed to be viewed in public. It's locked away in a room on its own.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that's weird. I've got some pestles from our site underneath the table back yep. there. It also, the fact that they have different generations of people living on the site makes it interesting. There's something about that specific location, be it the lake, be it the tool, whatever it is, keeps communities of people there for centuries, because you have your initial very, very first oldest remains they found, 10,000 BC. That is ice age stuff.
You know, that's crazy.
That's glacial stuff. That's mammoth hunters, 10,000 BC. And then you have people a continuous habitation there up to, you know, two or 3,000 BC, which that's a 7,000 year difference. People don't realize how long that is.
That is a long time.
And then you have the giants that live there. You have the Paiute that live there. Something about that area is very either important or very essential to people existing and living in that area, which is interesting that you found that and brought that up. So something there is very, be it, like I said, be it the lake right there in the middle of Nevada, whether it be the tool being such an important resource there, or maybe it's something with the cave.
Yeah, that is an observation that I wouldn't even have considered, but it is an excellent point. But on top of all that, you have two archaeologists that state the Northern Paiute have accounts of an extinct people living in the various localities in Nevada, which recall the beliefs in northwestern California regarding an ancient, now extinct race of supernatural beings.
Yes.
That's what these two archaeologists wrote. When the two miners went in to get the bat guano, they unearthed a human skeleton that measured out to 6 feet, 6 inches.
Not that crazy.
Not that crazy,
tall.
Right? It's tall.
It even now, a person that's 6'6" will probably, you'll probably look twice. Like, that's a tall person.
Tall person.
I imagine 2000 BC, that's going to be an excessively tall person.
Yes. And keep in mind, 6 feet, 6 inches isn't what we consider giant. But like Steve said back then, it kind of is.
Yeah.
And it's just underneath the 7 foot benchmark. Right?
Yep.
So there was another man named John T. Reed. He was able to examine other skeletons in the area of Lovelock that measured upwards to 7 feet, 7 inches.
Which is
big.
That's going to be a giant in our realm. You see a basketball player that's 7'7", man, that's a big dude.
That is a big dude. Then you have in 1931, another man named Lloyd de la Montoya actually discovered a skeleton that measured out to be 9 to 10 feet tall.
That is a giant, no question.
So the evidence is starting to mount upon itself. Furthermore, with me actually reading the entirety of her story from her book, reading it from her written word, I feel like it would be fair to say that you would find 6'6" people, that you would find 9 to 10 foot tall people. Why do we come to that conclusion? Because there was 2,600 of them, which means odds are you have youth running around. And I don't feel like giant babies come out at 9 feet tall.
I hope not.
Because that would suck. So if all that isn't crazy enough, this I'm curious to see how Steve feels about this. Even crazier is because of the miners, and I think that everybody would agree at this point, they were going in for the bat guano, right? They weren't going in to assume they were finding important artifacts. So what's most likely going to happen? You're going to get a lot of things that are destroyed.
Yeah.
Right? It's an inevitability. So, and it's also believed, at least possible, that the miners could have taken some of them as trophies.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There's like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. Yeah. But it's also noted, one of the mummies were taken and wanted by a local fraternal lodge that boiled it down and used it for initiation purposes. How fucking weird is that?
It's awesome. Does it say which fraternal lodge?
Did not.
Do they have
Did not.
Mason in their name?
I'm very curious. And I'm assuming they boiled it down to get all the skin and meat and everything off of to make it clear bone.
That's which, I mean, I have heard this before. A lot of, like, this is a real thing. I hate that I found this, but it is a real thing. There were a ton of Egyptian mummies that were consumed by European noble high class in the Victorian era because they thought that they had healing properties that cured illness.
And it probably killed them.
They actually hosted, quote, unwrapping parties where Egyptian corpses would be unwrapped for entertainment at private Victorian parties.
That is probably one of the most fucked up things I've ever heard.
Yep. This is from the Smithsonian. By ingesting corpse materials, one is believed to gain the strength from the person consumed.
Heard those stories.
Yeah, because I saw, it's funny that we bring this up, because I saw a TikTok of a woman talking about, you know, where did most of the Egyptian mummies go? And she's like, you're not going to want to know the answer because most of them were eaten.
That is so
by Victorian people.
It is so bizarre to me. I hope that most of them people got sick.
Since we're talking about it.
That's nuts, man.
Yep. Here we go. I'll just read this from theconversation.com. Why did people start eating Egyptian mummies? The weird and wild waves of mummy fever that swept through Europe. Why did people think cannibalism was good for their health? The answer offers a glimpse into the zaniest crannies of European history, a time when Europeans were obsessed with Egyptian mummies, driven by the belief that ground up and tinctured human remains could cure anything from the bubonic plague to a headache. And then the macabre ideas Victorian people had about after dinner entertainment. The bandaged corpses of ancient Egyptians are the subject of fascination from the Middle Ages to the 19th century. Mummy mania. Faith that mummies could cure illness drove people for centuries to ingest something that tasted awful. Mumia, the product created from mummified bodies, was a medicinal substance consumed for centuries by the rich and poor, available in apothecary shops and created from the remains of mummies brought from Egyptian tombs back to Europe. By the 12th century, apothecaries were using ground up mummies for their otherworldly medicines and properties. Mummies were prescribed for medicine for the next 500 years.
What? That is mind blowing.
Crazy.
I've never heard that before. That is so nuts. It sounds like something disconnected rich people would do.
Yeah. It was so bad. There was such a constant demand for dead flesh to be used in medicine, the supply of real mummies, they couldn't keep up. They couldn't pull enough mummies from Egypt to supply what Victorian era Europe needed for their medicine.
That is, like I said, I'll stand on that. That's probably one of the most fucked up things I've ever heard.
Dude,
like legitimately.
It's so crazy.
That is like, I don't even know what to do with that. It just completely.
England's King Charles II took medicine made from human skulls after suffering a seizure. And until 1909, physicians commonly used human skulls to treat neurological conditions. 1909, Kyle.
You know, I don't know. Because it makes you want. I mean, at least it makes me wonder. Were they that unintelligent, or did they actually find things that worked?
I don't know. Because then, like, you know, they prescribed you cocaine to get the ghosts out of your blood. You know, like, I think they were at that point. I feel like somebody woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to be a doctor. And then there's nobody there to tell you not to, you know, you start making up shit like, hey, drink this root beer and mix it with some old dirt and spread it across your forehead and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
People are like, all right, bet. Drink this mummy juice.
Yeah. It's your classic snake oil salesman.
It's no wonder King Tut curses everyone.
That's true.
Because he didn't want to get eaten.
This is true.
It's such a shame. Like, all jokes aside, it is such an absolute travesty that ancient Egyptians cared so much about their culture, their heritage, their family members, their people, that they took the time to meticulously prepare them for death. And then people came in, not only looted all of their belongings and shit that was put in their tombs.
Which, mind you, now that we're on that, if you get caught doing that today, you go to jail for it.
Yeah.
But it's cool when we do it to somebody else in a different space. Yeah. Then we call it archaeology.
Dude.
And we're learning.
And on top of that, their own family member, people they regarded in the highest respect, got turned into medicine soup or was a form of after dinner entertainment in an unwrapping party.
That's so crazy.
It's bonkers. It's crazy we went this route.
It is.
But as soon as you started talking about them boiling one of these mummies down, I'm like, God damn, this is a real fact.
Yeah. That's like, crazy.
I don't remember who the TikToker was, or I give her credit, but she was doing trivia, right? She'll do five trivia questions. And one of her trivia questions was, do you know where most of the Egyptian mummies went? And people are like, oh, they're in museums. They're like, nope, people ate them. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, go down that rabbit hole. Good luck.
It's crazy, man. But you can link that to some of the things that go on today, unfortunately.
It's crazy.
But back to the little bit of the story here. And once again, with the spirit cave, where you had the one body that was carbon dated to 10,000 BC, they also found two mummies that carbon dated to at least 9,400 years ago. DNA testing was done by none other than the Smithsonian, which I was waiting for them to pop up in the story because they're very notorious with giants.
That's where all your artifacts went, bud.
But they claim the mummies were of Caucasian origin with a long face and cranium, possibly of Nordic heritage. So it kind of plays into
the Vikings.
Into the Viking. That's where they pointed it, though. In no way were they the Setakan or native. Even the natives say that this race of giants was in no way, shape, or form connected to their race. The natives 100% recorded that the giants were not of native origin. They were a completely different race.
Interesting.
Because there were some people that were putting the claim out there that it was essentially a lost tribe or a nomad tribe that decided to take on cannibalism, and that the reddish hair came from, I guess it would be chemicals or elements within the environment that would lighten the hair upon death.
I saw that too, where they were trying to blame like nutrients in the soil.
Yeah.
Of the mummification for making the hair red, but it doesn't account for the fact that the literal lore and passed down information from the Paiute who actively engaged with this tribe said that they had fiery red hair.
Yeah.
It's just like shit like that drives me nuts because it tries to push a narrative that like doesn't even exist in the actual evidentiary lore that was passed down from the people that saw it.
Right. Yeah, you get that. We'll kind of cover some of it I found.
It's also a weird full circle that the cannibalistic giants ended up being cannibalized by the weird fraternity.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's kind of a strange irony there.
It is. It really is. But I also found a passage from a Spanish conquistador, Pedro Siza de Leon. He recorded in the 16th century retelling an ancient Peruvian tale about a race of giants who came by sea in rafts of reeds. Some of the men were so tall that from the knee down, they were the size of normal men, which is incredibly massive.
Big boy.
But the point is,
reed boats.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I bid on right there. Yep. Is that you have two stories from different parts of the freaking planet where these beings traveled in boats of reeds or grass.
Strange. It's strange.
And then apparently in America, you have the Choctaw who apparently duked it out with giants as well. They recount that they had encounters with white-skinned, red, and blonde-haired giants. They also claim that these giants were ruthless, once again forcing the natives into a long, drawn-out battle for their land. The Choctaw ended up winning because they were able to create poison-tipped darts to bring the giants down. With that, it makes you wonder, you know, like I said, you have reports from different tribes and different people from around the world, all essentially describing the same thing, including the tales from the Middle East that we've covered. And in almost all cases that I've heard, Steve's probably heard, that we've covered, most of the people fear these giants.
Yep.
They're almost always ruthless.
Yep.
But you do tend to go back to what Steve brought up earlier. You know, were these related to the Viking? Were they, or, and if not,
where did they come from?
Yeah, why did they disperse so much? You know, like why did they? Because in the end, it is almost like a Viking raiding party. They set out to do to conquer or find or move outside of where they're apparently originally from.
Yeah. Again, like, I'm curious what brought them to that specific area.
Right.
It's also weird that the other cave was named Spirit Cave, because that almost gives it some kind of connotation that there's something otherworldly going on.
That's a good
in
point.
The area.
It is a good point.
You know what I mean? And especially with like the tribes and the native culture there, I don't feel like they use the term spirit very lightly.
No, yeah, I agree.
So it makes me wonder how that got the specific moniker. I know it's not the same cave, but it also drove people there 10,000 years ago.
And I also found not our giant reports from the Comanche and the Navajo. The Navajo writes of the Starnik people of Navajo legend, describing them as a regal race of white giants endowed with mining technology who dominated the West, enslaved lesser tribes, and had strongholds all through the Americas. They were either extinguished or quote-unquote went back to the heavens.
That's weird.
Then you have the Comanches, who say innumerable moons ago, a race of white men 10 feet high and far more rich and powerful than any white people now living inhabited a large range of the country. They excelled. This is from Chief Rolling Thunder. They excelled every other nation which was flourished either before or since in all manner of cunning handicraft, were brave and warlike, ruling over the land they had wrested from its ancient possessors with a high and haughty hand. Compared with them, the pale faces of present day were pygmies, and both art and arms. He said the chief explained that when this race forgot justice and mercy and became too proud, the Great Spirit wiped it out, and all that was left of their society were the mounds still visible on the tablelands. Interesting.
It is. It's.
And it's. And then I stumbled on somebody who completely calls bullshit. And he was trying to claim that there were no real reports coming from Paiute legend, even though he himself can't speak it.
Oh. Of course.
He says that all of it comes for full circle to Sarah Winnemecca. That is the origin of the giant story in the Paiute lore.
She just made it up.
She just made it all up. He said he did tons and tons of research. I don't believe him. And one of the biggest reasons as to why I do not believe him, in him being a naysayer, is if there's one thing that we've learned, at least that I've learned, by researching and talking to people like Sean Clinton, there are things that the natives know that they don't want other people to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is. Even if it's out of fear, like the skinwalker. Sometimes they just don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
You know, and that's fair. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not talking shit by any means. Everybody knows that Steve and I really have a deep appreciation for Native lore and belief. But I mean, it's kind of cut and dry. There are things that they don't feel like, and they don't have to do anything, but they just don't want to share certain things with people. It just is what it is. Right. So maybe you didn't find any Paiutes who are willing to share because you're not a Paiute.
Yep.
And that is a thing.
The one that did share just got called out of being a liar.
Yeah.
So
weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
I did find a couple other pieces of evidence. One piece of evidence that remained on site until this day is a giant handprint embedded in a boulder inside Lovelock Cave. We won't go into any further debate pertaining to its aspect or implications, but it is said to be bigger than twice the size of a man's hand,
which would be about the size of a giant's hand.
Yep. According to a 1931 article published in the Nevada Review Minor, two giant skeletons have been found buried in a dry lake bed close to Lovelock, Nevada. The oversized remains measured 8.5 to respectively 10 feet high, and the bodies were mummified in a manner similar to those employed by ancient Egyptians.
I also saw that some of the best evidence is actually kept at, I think it's the Nevada Museum. And there are these massive skulls.
Oh, I did see some pictures.
And the museum has them. However, the museum does not have them on display. You and me can go see them, but when we get there, we have to ask.
That'd be dope.
So people are like, well, why aren't these on active display? It's because the museum itself does not acknowledge them as authentic.
But they're keeping them.
Interesting. Weird, right?
Yes. I need to see them.
You can ask about them and you can see them. They'll show you.
There's a couple, but I don't know if they're.
And I don't know. It's weird, man. The whole story's sussy. I definitely think there's an attempted cover up of it, and I don't really know why. I have no idea why
we would cover up. Wonder any of it. What theories we could go in? You clearly have the Viking possible tie-in, but I just looked up. Vikings were not cannibals. Like, that was not something they actively practiced in. I'm sure if times got hairy, maybe they did.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. Not saying that if this was a band that they didn't get in rough times and start taking up this practice, but in terms of history, they were not ones that commonly practiced.
And like I said, there are stories of berserker Vikings that are big.
Yeah.
Probably 6'6", 7 foot. I could believe that.
Could it be some sort, this also kind of crossed my mind, some sort of rogue sect of species of Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
I did see that get bumped around a little bit.
That, you know, lived here. But, I mean, I don't know. You hear Bigfoot and you think they're just covered in hair. These particularly weren't, because they obviously refer to them as, you know, light-skinned.
Red hair,
which could it be some weird genetic anomaly where this particular band of Sasquatch kind of got pushed out from all the other ones and they just took up in this cave. I mean, 2,600 of them is, that's quite a bit, but still pushed out there, you know?
Yeah.
Possibility.
Well, and also to note, it didn't actually say that the 2,600 actually all lived in the cave. It said eventually they got pushed back to cave. Oh, yeah,
that's true. That's true.
But they probably did use that cave as shelter. It's just the one they retreated back to.
And kind of banking off of that, just because there was 2,600 in the tribe, that doesn't necessarily mean they all had to be giants, right?
That's what I'm taking it
you
as.
You could have, you know, 25 or 30 of them that are 12 feet tall, but the rest of them be, you know, on the lower end, six feet tall, 7 feet tall.
Right.
And they're still going to be taller than your regular, you know, 5'5", 5'7" guy. And people are going to be like, man, this whole band of people is huge. They're the giants.
Yeah.
Also, a theory that I was kind of digging around while Kyle was going through his evidence he pulled up. People, I don't want to jump on this train. But since we're here, we're going to do it. Nephilim. Could it be?
Well, it's weird how the Comanche talks about it. It says the Great Spirit came and wiped them out.
Wiped them out. Nephilim are also, you know, when you hear about them, they are not good. They are essaying everything.
Yeah.
They're cannibalizing everything. Like, it kind of, the cannibalization kind of fits the narrative of whatever these things were. Especially when they were like given the choice, hey, stop eating people. And they're like, nah, we're good. And the fact that they were kind of privy to the Paiute women.
Yeah, that's
makes
a good
it
point.
Fucking weird.
That's a good point. And you're right. Because by Sarah's own words, the Paiute, she even said that before the war started, the Paiute even tried taking some of them in to make them more manlike, and they just wouldn't do it.
Oh, and that feels like a classic Nephilim move, like kind of, you know, show some vulnerability so we can kind of make our way in there. And then, I just thought it was weird when I saw that being thrown around. I'm like, man, that does kind of line up in what people think are Nephilim.
I agree.
So
I agree. It's definitely on the table.
It sucks that there's so many pieces of evidence, and it's all just grayed out and muddied over.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you Google evidence in America alone of giants, it is bountiful.
Oh yeah. I've got books.
There's evidence everywhere.
I need to do another episode.
And that's just America's. That's not the entirety of the planet.
No.
So to make claims that none of it's real, because the person was clearly taking shots at, I think this is why I included it, because it pissed me off. they were taking shots at paranormal fields. They said the only time these cannibalistic giants appear is in some crazy paranormal research.
Here we are.
Right. And I kind of took it personal. I'm like, listen here, asshole. you can't just lump that. Like, just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean you got to go and throw smoke in everybody's direction, because we can do the same right back at you.
Yeah.
The world has changed. We're now average people like Steve and I can throw shots right back.
Yeah. And a lot of things people said we were wrong about, the same people are now saying we're right about.
Yeah.
So.
Just saying.
Don't know what to tell you.
Just saying.
That was dope.
It's interesting, man. Isn't it? Like I said, once I read her story in the entirety, I just kind of skimmed it the first time I put it in there. I'm like, this would be great because this is right from her mouth.
Yeah.
You know, but we reread that. Like, we went over it, and I'm like, there's some subtleties that have changed here that
it's interesting.
Open a dynamic. It is interesting, man. And I feel like I need to do more justice into giants, because I feel like there's a lot more to it than
and
what people normally talk about.
I feel like if any major, I was going to say U.S. institution, but world institution such as the Smithsonian is tied into the theory that they're actively suppressing this evidence, I feel like there's probably something to that.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's one of my top places to investigate if I ever had the chance would be the basement of the Vatican and the basement of the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I'm sure those would probably blow our minds.
Yeah. But that's it, folks. Thanks for hanging out with us, listening to us talk about giants and eating mummies. And that's not a sentence I thought I was going to say.
Nope, me either.
But you know the drill. Check us out on all our social medias. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a safe week. keep kickstarting 2025 off the way you want it to go. Manifest great things this year. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and I don't know. Don't eat mummies.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.